I'm Fleming Frisdal. I have been in the industry literally before I was had graduated from high school. My first job was working at Nordic Tours, literally cleaning the offices back then and taking out the garbage. And they used to smoke in the office back then.
Welcome to Voices of Travel, The Next Chapters, an interview series that captures the passion, humor, and character of 15 remarkable people as they tell us the stories of their careers in the industry. Thanks for joining me, Fleming. Nordic Tours, it was located in Vancouver, wasn't it?
It was. It was founded by my mom and dad in 1977. And then I worked there. My brother ended up opening up Network and Nordic Tours in Toronto. And I actually went off and delivered for all tours or something for the old people. And then I actually went to destination. I lived in Egypt, Greece, and Kenya. It was really the first job in travel where I took care of customers that came there. And I lived there for 3.5 years.
What was it like to work in a family travel business?
And I think the best part I had was that I lived in Egypt and Greece and Kenya, so it wasn't so bad. So having worked in the industry there, I never really worked with my family. I worked in that country.
What was the industry like back then? I mean, how was it different from today?
The industry back when I started, I even worked for Sears Travel, and I worked there for 2 years. And I think that the big difference is people used to come in, they talked to the consultants, they would work with the consultants, they didn't go online, you didn't have internet. So the consultants were a lot more valued, I believe, at that time. And I think that that had died off a little. And I think, you know, now it's come back significantly, the value of a travel professional.
Even with all the technology, social media?
You know, this sounds funny, but I think almost all the technology and all the social media has helped travel agents because there's so much noise out there. You don't know what's real and what's not. Is that a real review? Is that a fake review? What sites can you trust? So I think that travel professionals and, you know, when you look at the top performing agents, and even today, and it was the same back then, is the ones that go and actually travel and experience the product and can speak from their heart about what they felt.
What's the biggest change you've seen in your time in the industry?
Since I've been in travel, I think the biggest changes have been two things. One is the number of suppliers that have disappeared. When I started in the industry, even Thomas Cook, who I worked for, absorbed almost 17, 18 different companies. So, and they never came back. They just became part of Thomas Cook. And I think that's the saddest thing. The choices of suppliers have greatly diminished. And the second thing is the rise of home-based independent contractors has been huge. I remember going to Winnipeg at that time, TPI, and then when I was a supplier, I'd go and visit with them, and they were very innovative in what they were doing. And it was like people still thought of home-based agents as, you know, women sitting at home in their pajamas and doing travel. Of course, that's completely wrong. And now it's almost 50 to 60% of the business in Canada.
Back in the day, independent contractors were very, very controversial. And I'm wondering why it has changed.
I think the reason that you saw a change and why independent contractors have been better received and are now looked at as being, oh my God, look at some of them. Some of them are selling, literally. We have partner agents that are making over $250,000 selling travel. That's not their sales, that's what they take home. And that's amazing. And how can you as a supplier not go, hold on, how much? You know, us as a company this year will do $400 million. And I mean, that's all independent contractors. That's bigger than Sears Travel was, iTravel 2000 was. So I think people are really looking at independent contractors. And the other thing is, independent contractors aren't really just selling $699 to Cancun. They're selling that high-end product, which is very different than I think it was before.
Changing gears a bit. Did you have a mentor, someone that influenced your career?
Wow, do I have a mentor that influenced me? Wow, this is going to sound really, really funny. I definitely worked for my brother for 20 years at Thomas Cook, and I had a lot of respect for him and what he did. There was a number of different CEOs that I worked for that taught me some great things. One of the best lessons I think I ever learned from one of them was, if you don't tell people what you've done, nobody will know you did it. So it's like you didn't do it. And what that talked a lot about was, go out and praise what you've done. Don't be ashamed about it. Don't be arrogant about it. But tell people that they don't know. And that's why you see us do a lot of things that talk about what we've done. And I think it's worked to my advantage in doing that. But also, it's going to sound funny, I've learned so many things not to do that's probably helped me more watching companies that were, I thought so much of the CEOs, and then I watched them and I'm like, my God, they're a bouncing ball. They're here one day, they're the other day, they're the shiny ball people, and they're never going to be successful.
So I'm curious, what did you learn not to do?
Not to follow the shiny ball. What that means is that if you're going down a path, don't change the path unless it's the wrong path. But don't suddenly believe, oh, that could make us money too. And then you go there, and then, oh, that could make us money. And then you go there. And that's the shiny ball. And I've seen so many companies lose focus because they had a great idea. And it probably was a great idea. But the problem is, you can't do 100 great ideas. You can do 2 or 3 exceptionally well.
There have been many events that have bounced the travel industry around. And I can give you a list. Y2K, cuts and commission caps, 9/11. SARS 1 and 2, COVID, and I'm just wondering if you can talk about the external factors that have hit the industry and how it has managed to survive all of those shocks.
Obviously, those kind of events, you know, everybody thought when we went to 2000 that planes were going to fall out of the sky because the computers weren't set to go to 2000. They couldn't go from 1999. So there's no question. I think the one thing that I've learned is that it's in cycles. When COVID happened, which was probably the most influential that killed the travel industry or killed storefront locations, I think the biggest thing that I learned is, keep your head down, come back, stay focused on what you're doing. We didn't lay off any staff during COVID. We kept focused, we believed in what we were doing, and we weren't panicking. And I think that's the number one thing to do, is don't panic, because it will come back. And look at it, come back.
What about internal stuff? Now, you worked for a family company, but the mom and pop operations have disappeared. Is that something that's a sad thing? Is it something that just had to happen because of the maturing of the industry?
You know, the disappearing of mom and pop and the disappearing of certain kind of agencies. And, you know, here's the surprising factor. Back when I was Thomas Cook, back in, you know, 2012, 2010, everybody thought Sears Travel was going to take over the world. CAA was going to take over the world. Flight Centers was going to take over the world. American Express, Carlson, Vaughan, Lee. Yet all of them, except, of course, for CAA, is pretty much gone when it came to storefront. That blew me away. I didn't understand that. So you may think the mom-pa have gone away. I think the mom-pa has actually stayed. They just transformed into being more home-based. We just had 3 storefront locations that were mom-pas have changed to go home. Here's, I think, where the problem lies. You're not seeing their kids get into travel. Like you saw me and my brother get into travel. You're not seeing that. So the problem with the industry, and what I believe is important, is getting people into travel. You're not seeing people in the age of 20 or 25 getting to travel. We are seeing the biggest increase in travel is people who are 45 and up. That this is always the career they wanted, but it was never looked at as being a profession. And now it is. And I think that's the biggest change. We've never been as busy with people coming into the travel industry, but not with 20-year-olds. They're all 45 and up.
Technology has always been part of the travel and tourism industry. Has it had a beneficial impact? Can you talk about the impact of the internet and the growth of online travel? At the time, a lot of people predicted that it signaled the end of travel agents. What about social media? What about AI?
I believe that technology and the impact that it's had on the travel industry is great. And I think that, and here's why I think that, is because if we didn't have technology, we couldn't find efficiency. If we couldn't find efficiencies, we couldn't be able to stay in the travel industry because the margins have gotten to be very, very slim. You need to drive volume. So I'm not afraid of the technology. I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence. I'm afraid of some of the fraud, which is one of the issues that can come from this, where you can actually be watching a Zoom call and the person isn't the person, but it looks like the person and they're speaking like they're the person. That worries me. But what doesn't worry me is that the benefits it brings to travel professionals who take it on and learn how to utilize that technology to make themselves better, look stronger. I think that technology, for all the leaps and bounds, it's been outside the travel industry. You look at inside travel, you look at the reservation systems, you know, you look at how you book. It's the same technology from 40 years ago. Like, it's not changed. So I think part of the reason that we've been fortunate is that we're investing a lot just in technology to bring easy forms, to bring easy ways to go in. And I think you're going to have to see that in the travel industry. So many agents I talk to, their agencies still send an authorization form and the clients have to print it out, try to find a scan. Who has a scanner? And then sign it and take a picture or something. So I think travel has not by any stretch kept up with technology. However, I believe part of that is because the consumers like talking to people. And even young millennials like dealing with travel agents because they know that all the stuff they can read on a computer screen, some of it's just BS. It's just not real information.
So Fleming, I want to go back a bit. You've been on both the supplier and the retail side of the business. And I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about the supplier side and how things have changed in that sector over the years. I know you said that there are far fewer suppliers today than there were back in the day. Some observations.
Having been a supplier most of my life, which I did for over 20 years of my life, I still consider myself a supplier. I know that sounds corny, but I do what a supplier does. I don't sell travel. I think the biggest change that you've seen with suppliers is that there's just so few left. And you're not seeing new suppliers coming out. The main suppliers that you see coming out right now are people who do FIT. FIT, of course, is combining air, hotel, cars, and tours and packaging it. You've seen 6 or 7 or 8 companies come out like that, but you haven't seen a new tour operator. So you've seen some airlines come in, but you haven't seen them take on. So you only now are left with not just Sunwing and WestJet, which is one company now, and then you got Air Canada Vacations, and you got Transat in Eastern Canada. So that used to be a total of probably about eight, nine companies. When you had Nolly, you had Alba, you had Sunwing, you had Dave Hardwin and Diane, you know, and that's the biggest change. And I think personally, that's the scariest part because it reduces competition.
And selection.
Yeah, and selection, yeah. But the selection is only so many hotels you can go to in Cancun. There's only so many hotels you can go to in Puerto Vallarta or in the Dominican Republic. I think really the concern is pricing. And you've seen that when COVID ended and as slowly we went in, the pricing on average was up 75%. Like, that's huge. Now, I have to say, I'm not complaining because, of course, agents are paid a commission off the gross fare or off the selling fare. So they made 75% more, which is about time. So I think consumers were paying too little, but I still think you need a balance of the two. But that's the biggest concern I have is in the industry is that there's too few of that type of suppliers.
Now, you've talked about younger people getting into the industry, and I wonder if you had a room full of students in front of you, what advice would you give them? Should they come into the industry? What do they need to know? What should their expectations be?
I think one of the concerns there are with why you don't see as many young people come into the industry is because, in a roundabout way, is with independent contractors. So in the old days, when we were even Thomas Cook and I would hire, we would start out with a room full of 30 to 40 people to go into Holiday House call center to answer calls. We would whittle it down. And these are usually people that came from travel school, which really didn't know a lot when they come out after a 2-year program. We would whittle that down to 10. We knew that about 70% of the students couldn't cut it, okay? But they were coming into a job where they knew they were gonna get paid a salary. Good or bad, they knew they were gonna get it. The thing with independent contractors, why you're seeing people more in their 40s or older is because they've got income, they are married, possibly, they've got a reserve of cash or money, so they can know that they can survive for a year or two until they start making some money. Where the young people, they come in and agencies aren't going to hire them, not a lot of them, because they don't want to take them on brand new because they have no client base, and also they don't know squat. And you don't see the Marlins or the like corporately owned Carlson, the Sears, where they took on the new people in the industry and they would help build them up. You don't see that today because there's no loyalty. Back then, people would work at Sears Travel for 30 years. They would work for Marlin Travel or for Carlson or Amex for 20, 30 years. Now, well, who's paying me more? Bye-bye. So that's the problem. Is that you don't see the young people getting in because they can't get a guaranteed income and they need an income, which makes sense.
What about your best memory of working in the industry?
Wow. My best memory in the industry, I wish I could remember 30 years of it. My goodness gracious, I'm happy if I can remember yesterday. I think my favorite part about what I do today or what I did before is my favorite part is working for travel agents. And it may sound like a cliche or I'm being, I love that. I love working for travel agents. I don't want to deal with a consumer. Oh my God, I don't know how travel agents do that. But watching a travel agent succeed and watching them make their dreams come true financially or doing something they haven't done before. I love one of the big things that we've done now is that we support, charities. Pencils for Kids is a charity. We built four schools. So being able to do that is probably what I enjoy the most about what I do is giving back. Every time we go to a destination, I love going in to, we find either a school or we find usually a center where it's a small grassroots and you go in there and there's a woman who was abused and she started the center to help other people and other kids. And we go in there and we do a bunch of stuff for them. That is my favorite memory in what I do in travel. It's not traveling. I don't like to travel anymore. I mean, I love traveling with my daughters and my wife. I love that. But it's doing that.
So what's your worst memory, Fleming?
Probably March 13th when I got on a plane of 2020, when I got on a plane and flew back to Vancouver and said, oh, I'm going to be back in Toronto. COVID will be over in, probably 2 or 3 months and I'll be back in the office. And the worst memory is that took almost 30 months before I got back to the office. So that's been one of the worst memories ever is having to go through that and knowing how many people suffered. We were lucky and I knock on wood, but how many people suffered so badly. And the first Christmas in 2020, we did a thing with over 50 of our fellow agents for Christmas and having to actually do that. I give them. So what we did is we gave them food. We gave them money for food, gifts for each of the family, tree, and gift for the dog, and we gave that out. It was about $800 per family that we gave out. But having to have done that, that was sad because you knew that was hard for those people to ask, for them to ask. Wasn't easy. So that was sad. That was really hard because that sucked.
Was there ever a time you've said you'd had enough?
No. I would never want to leave the travel industry. I think it's the one place I feel comfortable. When I lost my job at Thomas Cook because of what was happening at Thomas Cook, we got offers to work outside travel. I'm like, hell no. I love travel. I love the people. One thing about travel I think that people don't understand is that if you work in a manufacturing and you go to a place and everybody makes beds, nobody talks to each other because they're all like, well, that's my competitor. Here, everybody talks together. Like when I was a supplier, my best friends for traveling was other suppliers. And when I see retail travel agents today, many of them still recognize me from Thomas Cook. Never would I ever want to leave. I think it's one of the most friendliest, heartwarmed industry. It's one where you feel at home. And no matter where you are, people are going to help you if you need help because you're part of that industry.
In the next decade, what do you see as the industry's greatest challenge? What does it have to do to meet that challenge? In the next decade, what do you see as the industry's greatest opportunity?
When you look at the next decade, I honestly think the biggest problem is going to be keeping people going into the travel industry and getting fresh minds and new perspectives. I think part of the problem with travel is that you're not getting new people in and fresh people with new ideas. And the people running the companies are been doing it for a long time, and Steady Eddie seems to win the race. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe that's the right approach. But you're not seeing a lot of technology, or you're seeing tech companies that build stuff for travel, but they don't quite understand travel. So they're not quite nailing it. I honestly think technology of not being there for travel industry is going to be a concern, and not getting enough people into travel as being travel agents is going to be a concern. You look at all the suppliers are having such a hard time hiring people, and they're offering free travel, and it's not getting people in to work with the suppliers. So they don't have people answering the call. So we don't have people they can call into and book a group with. I think those are the things that are going to be real, real stumblers.
So what's the biggest opportunity?
The biggest opportunity, I believe, is being a travel professional. I think being a travel agent, and I believe it in my heart, you deal with three things that no other company in the world deals with when you sell. You deal with people's disposable vacation. So most people get 3 weeks maybe, and you screw it up, but you get it right, they're going to remember you. You deal with disposable income. Right now, the average is about $3,500 for a company. You screw it up, well, they can't get that money back. But you do it well, they're going to be so happy that their vacation and money was well spent. And you deal with interaction. If you book people into the wrong type of hotel or wrong experience, they're going to have a miserable trip. But if you nail all three of those, you're a hero. And people get cards and gifts and I love you and all those kind of things. How does that make you feel great? Like, how does that make you feel that you made a difference in someone's life that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives about what you did for them?
Thanks for telling us your story, Fleming. And thanks to all of you for joining me for this episode. I'm Bob Mowat, Executive Editor of Canadian Travel Press, and I hope you'll join me for another remarkable conversation on Voices of Travel, the next chapters.